Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you've tuned in tonight live. We are live on the Star Wars Report to You stream channel. And for you guys listening to the podcast, we either look like excited Star Wars fans, as we always are, or we look like fools. But at least if we're fools, we're in good company. We've got some really exciting news tonight. This Thursday night, the 24th of January, 2013, the year of our Lord. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton, founder of the Star Wars Report, and this particular podcast. But I've got some great co-hosts with us this evening. We'll start with our regulars. First of all, my sister, Bethany.
Greetings, everyone. Glad to be back. I'm one of the hosts of the Star Wars Report, and I am excited to be here tonight.
Yes, just in case there's confusion as to who we are. But you know, there are people who tune in new every week, especially with this kind of news that we'll be talking about in just a moment. But also joining us, as he always has, another co-host and co-founder of the Star Wars Report and Star Wars Report podcast, Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hey, Whistler. Destroyed. Everybody, how is it going? Riley, Bethany,
it's going great.
Esteemed guests with us today. Having fun.
Yes, and welcoming to the program as well, Mrs. Teresa Delgado, a fangirl next door, and of course, a staff contributor over at the StarWarsReport.com site. How you doing, Teresa?
Hey. I'm fantastic. Actually, beyond fantastic. I'm really excited. Can't sit still excited, actually.
All right, J.J. Abrams. We're going to get to it. It's good to have you on the show, as always. So J.J. Abrams, the director of Star Wars Episode 7.
Say what?
What?
I love the 2 second split silence.
That was gold. No, it's here's the deal.
I'm late to the news. I just got off work a little while ago and kind of got the call from Bethany. Hey, we're jumping on an hour early. Can you be here? And I'm seeing the go on to Skype from Teresa and everything's blowing up. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? And every time I get on my phone, I haven't been able to kind of see everything yet.
Yes, this is raw. This is live. It's like I was talking to Teresa in the pre-show. It's like an election primary where you're waiting for independent news sources to confirm. And we can say now that the New York Times, the LA Times, Entertainment Weekly are projecting the winner of the director's chair of Star Wars Episode 7 is J.J. Abrams. Now, anyone listening to the show should know who J.J. Abrams is. He's the director of the new Star Trek films, mm-hmm. and he's done a bunch of cool stuff. I don't have his IMDb up in front of me, but needless to say, huge director of this particular modern era. And I got to say, if this is true, we still do not have official word from Lucasfilm. So that's the deal. But we're going live, and we're discussing it anyway, because it looks like there are enough independent sources that are familiar with the situation
yes
to go on it. So here we go, we're live discussing it. What do you guys think?
I am really excited about it, because if it turns out to be true, and that is still an if, I really like J.J. Abrams. I think he's a great director, and I came prepared tonight. You see, what you who are listening to the podcast who aren't watching live don't see is my awesome sunglasses. I am ready for those lens flares, and I couldn't resist the joke. Oh, goodness. But I think he's a talented director. I think he'll do a great job. And everyone has already said that J.J. Abrams Star Warsified, I believe is the term I heard. Star Warsified, yep. Star Trek.
He flat out says that's where he was taking a lot of the inspiration. I mean, if you listen to the commentary, which I have, because I'm a huge Star Trek fan as well, he mentions that multiple times. There are lots of scenes where it's, oh, this is Luke going out on the Tatooine. The moment when Kirk rides up to the Enterprise being built, that's supposed to be the Luke standing in the suns. And then when he meets up with old Spock, that's supposed to be Obi-Wan coming with the Krayt dragons and stuff like that.
Teresa, well, your initial thoughts.
I think I was there when the rap posted it, okay. And everybody started saying, well, don't report it yet. It's just a rumor. And then, you know, everybody on Twitter started saying stuff like, breaking news, J.J. Abrams to direct the next Stargate. You know, so then, of course, I had to join in on it and say, breaking news, J.J. Abrams to direct the next Harry Potter. And because we were joking about
it. Wait, there's a Harry Potter reboot? I know, right?
So then, but then the New York Times and the LA Times started posting it, and then I was like, oh, wait, this might actually be true.
It looks like it. I'm actually going to go straight to the EW story, because you're right, it broke, quote-unquote, on the Wrap earlier today, and then there's an update from that EW about an hour ago as we record this live. Says J.J. Abrams, and I quote straight from EW, J.J. Abrams is beaming from one franchise to another. Yeah, get it? All right, sorry. So the Star Trek Into Darkness director is set to helm the next installment of Star Wars, EW confirmed. The Wrap first reported the news. Quote, as a kid, I was always a fan of special effects. Watching the movies, I was constantly trying to figure out how they did it, whatever the effect was. Star Wars was the first movie that blew my mind in that way, and it didn't matter how they did any of it, because it was so overwhelmingly and entirely great. I can tell this is definitely a quote. Is this from J.J. Abrams himself? So hang on. It was funny and romantic and scary and compelling, and the visual effects just served the characters and stories. It galvanized me, not for what was exciting about how movies were made, but rather for what movies are capable of, Abrams told EW back in November. So in the same interview, he also denied directing any of the Star Wars films, but basically... EW is, that's what they're saying, is that they have a source, and then it was just piling on from there. We got New York Times, and we've got the LA Times, and Deadline, all these sites saying that they have information that it will happen. So,
well, and see, the difference between that was when the Wrap was the only one reporting it, then it's like, really? You know, this could just be another one of those rumors, somebody told somebody who told somebody, and now they're reporting it as fact. But then... instead of coming out and saying, okay, well, the Wrap said this, EW.com came out and said, the Wrap said this, but we confirmed it ourselves with our own sources. And so a number of fairly reputable news sites have confirmed it separately.
Well, the EW story I'm looking at does not say they independently confirmed it, but that's the one I'm looking at. But I think we can move forward with this assumption that it is happening.
What EW.com says is...
Go ahead, Bethany.
What they say is the Star Trek Into Darkness director is set to helm the next installment of Star Wars, EW has confirmed. And then in parentheses it says, the Wrap first reported the news.
So EW has confirmed. All right, I've got that article up. So it's very brief, and they just say... they've confirmed. They don't say how or who. And
Diane Sawyer on ABC News.
That's probably the biggest, most convincing thing for me, because if nothing else, we'll all laugh at Diane Sawyer. And of course, there are already the jokes going, well, perhaps she was intoxicated. Who knows?
Yeah.
But moving forward, as this is actually happening, what does it mean to you guys? And are you excited about it?
I'm very excited about it, because at this point I have a feeling that it's probably more right than wrong, because so many people have say that they have independently confirmed it, and I have seen rumors go wild that were completely untrue that sites have reported as fact because so-and-so said it.
Sure,
but this one doesn't quite have that feel to it. And because it makes sense, J.J. Abrams is a huge fan of Star Wars. He said so himself multiple times. And Aaron Goins, actually, one of our writers, just pointed out in Skype a minute ago, J.J. Abrams has produced in the same movie that Harrison Ford starred in. J.J. Abrams was the main producer, and that was Morning Glory. So there are a few other connections like that. Because I think J.J. Abrams would do a fantastic job, and I think it's more likely than not.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. And I think he will do a good job. And I think here's what it means to me is that they are going for big and well-known, which is not necessarily Star Wars' style in terms of actors. Lucas usually chooses unknowns. But... I think it is in the case of a director's chair, someone who's helming this project. It's so big culturally. This is so significant. You've got to get a guy who's proven his worth, who has the kind of backing of the genre fan community. And I think J.J. Abrams brings that to the table. I've never been interested in the Star Trek films, really, since I saw the original when I was probably 12, 13, 14. And I saw the original Star Trek film. Now, you guys could probably tell me that's not the best Star Trek film to start on, because
watch First Contact and then judge again.
And I'm sure there are some very good Star Trek films, but that kind of was a bad taste in my mouth. And then I saw some of the original series. And then a couple years back, Bethany got into The Next Generation. And I actually got sucked into that, and I really enjoy a lot of The Next Generation because of the character style. But Star Trek as a franchise, for me, was not something that really held a whole lot of interest in terms of cinematically until the 2009 Star Trek film. And I remember watching the 2009 Star Trek film, which J.J. Abrams directed, and I remember thinking to myself, and I said this out loud to Bethany, and I've been on record before, I think. I may not have said it on the podcast before. But I remember thinking, this is the best first 15 minutes, the best opening sequence of a film that I've ever seen. And that was the way he established the character of Kirk's father and his sacrifice at the beginning of the 2009 Star Trek film. And I just remember thinking to myself, man, if Star Wars were to ever come back in theaters, this is what I would want it to look like. So when I see this news,
actually looked at it because it looked so much like Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people criticize him for that, and I think it ostracized some fans of the original Star Trek series, but it brought Star Trek into this mainstream thing with the excitement behind in Star Trek into Darkness, which is hard to roll off the tongue because there should be a "the" in there somewhere. Star Trek Into Darkness. But the thing about Star Trek Into Darkness is there's this huge, huge swell, and I think it's going to be one of the top two or three movies this summer, for sure. And there's a lot of good stuff coming this summer. We've got Superman and all that.
Because of the hype either, but Riley and I actually got to see the extended cut and trailer that was specially shown with IMAX showing of The Hobbit. So we saw that extended scene and trailer. And I gotta say, on the IMAX, on the big screen, it was amazing.
Yes. So Mark, it kind of, now that that's my, you guys just heard my initial reaction to this news. Mark, now that you've heard me blabbering on for a minute, and I know you're a big fan of Star Trek.
I'll handle it twofold. I mean, Bethany kind of handled the one aspect of, do we believe it as a rumor or truth? So I'll come from there, and I'm just going to take it as a rumor until I get an official word.
Sure.
But when I think about what, you know, Abrams did with Trek, I loved the film. You know, the only thing that kind of bothers me is, like I said, I listen to commentaries and things like that, and he repeatedly himself calls that Trek a reboot, which concerned me as a Trek fan because all it was just typical time travel and all they're in is an alternate timeline, and yet he keeps calling it a reboot. It's like, well
it's more of a reboot in concept and the way the franchise is handled, not really in terms of continuity.
But to a long-term Star Trek fan, time travel has been in every single one of their series, and they always go out of their way to follow the prime directive and this, that, and the other thing and fix everything. Okay, and the seeds are there. But the fact that even in the commentary, he's calling it a reboot, I was like, that aspect of it has me a little concerned. I'm like, okay, well, where could this go? I mean, if even he calls Star Trek a reboot, and yet is following, as of right now, all the rules of Trek time travel, you know, he's got the mind meld with people from the future. So you've got future, or the new Kirk has memories of what old Kirk had, because all those memories are in old Spock. So he knows what should have happened. So at some point, they should either travel back in time and fix everything, which is what I think they should do, or they're going to completely decide, well, because the time travel switched the timeline in a spot where time travel hadn't really existed yet, now that part of the Federation stuff is no longer existent. But that, you know, you won't know that happening until the next few movies and what they plan on doing. So it's like, okay, if that's happening in Trek, what could they do with Star Wars. I mean, Disney hasn't even talked about what they're planning on doing with continuity.
True.
They've told us that Lucas is giving us treatments, but they haven't told us what those treatments mean. Right, they haven't said if G-level canon even consists of G-level canon anymore. So there's a lot of things in the air, and that's what makes me nervous, because it's like it could go any way, you know? I mean, getting to that whole reboot thing and how that's interpreted. I mean, right now it's not an issue for me, but depending on what they do, it could be an issue for me. And it's like, well, all because one person used this one word and everyone misinterpreted it, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Like, things can be so interpreted so many different ways that it's an exciting thing, to be sure.
Well, and here's the thing. I want to just kind of push pause for just a moment, because we're really going to get into this a lot more, and we're going to try to follow it live. Teresa, you had to leave for a moment, but you're back on the line. Are you with us?
I am back.
Oh, nice and smooth. And I want to say, we are live. I've got the chat room up, and I encourage you guys, everyone on air, have the chat room up, and we want to interact with you guys. And we got a lot of guests on, and I see you lurkers, by the way. We're live, and quite a few people are joining us, which is awesome. I want everyone live. Tweet the link to the channel. I want people to join us kind of in this group experience. This is very experimental for us, mm-hmm. and I'm very excited to actually kind of be live on air. And it's cool to have the video up and working. So I've got the chat room open. I see some very intelligent commentary about my hair. And no. But yeah, I mean, I see you, Quidon 588, and Quidon 88, and I see, oh, that's you, Mark. And so I see Joey in Tucson, Degas, Matt, and a lot of others that are joining us. We thank you guys for joining us live. And we'll monitor the chat room, because we want to know, what do you think? I see a lot of kind of confusion, and that I think is going to be the state, especially considering this news is an hour and a half old, essentially, from being confirmed, quote-unquote, from mainstream news. Which, by the way, either way, this is a win either way. Whether this is false, which would be basically a great journalistic hoax.
I know.
Mud in the face of mainstream journalism, if this is fake. And if it's true, then, of course, we win, because, I think this is fantastic. Now, Teresa, like I told Mark, we've gone on in greater detail, but what do you think? Kind of, are you a fan of the new Star Trek and the way he handled it in what was, I guess, called a reboot?
So I am a newer Star Trek fan, in the sense that I didn't grow up with Star Trek. I just grew up with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see the new Star Trek film, and then after seeing that, I kind of decided, okay, I'd like to really learn more about Star Trek. Still, to this day, I actually haven't done as much as I would have liked to have done to, research more. I have seen the first Star Trek movie, but other than that, I really haven't seen much. I've been trying to get some guidance from Mark Newbold over at Jedi News and stuff, because he's a huge Star Trek fan, so he's trying to give me some guidance on how to get into it and kind of where to start and that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely broadening my mind and my scope of interest, and not going to be one of the Star Wars fans that's like, no, Star Trek bad.
I think,
even though it provides for great entertainment if you're watching fanboys.
Well, that, and I think that's always been the case, that Star Trek and Star Wars fans do this just for the entertainment of it, and then secretly, or perhaps not so secretly, like I think all of us on this call, really like both.
I really think at this point the whole it's a false contention at this point. Now, Degas in the chat room was saying he's saying the obvious, but many of his Star Wars friends aren't keen on the idea of a Trekkie directing. I don't really perceive, and nor do I think the public perceives J.J. Abrams as a Trekkie. He was kind of the Star Wars fan, self-admitted George Lucas fan, stepping in directing Star Wars. A lot of people thought he was kind of trampling all over the way Star Trek was usually done. Now, of course, I'm a big fan of it, but, you know, I mean, I really don't see the conflict between Star Trek and Star Wars. It's genre fiction storytelling, and both of it has bad and good, and I mean,
Joey in the chat mentions that the new Trek movie came out. Critics said it was a Star Wars version of Trek, and even in the commentary, you know, they've flat out said, and I said before the show started, you know, when Kirk pulls up and he sees the Enterprise being built, that's the homage to Luke and the twin sons. When he sees old Spock, that's supposed to be Obi-Wan coming to save Luke from the Krayt dragons. I mean, there were flat out moments where he flat out said, I want to make this like Star Wars. And, you know, that to me was one of the things that I was like, all right, you know, if they're going to be rebooting it, this will be cool. And then when it came out, I was like, hey, this isn't really a reboot.
Well, I mean, the thing that we need to think about here is that we do have somebody that's going to be possibly directing a Star Wars film, and he also did Star Trek. And if anything, you know, to piggyback off one of the things that I tweeted earlier today, this just gives us an opportunity as science fiction and, you know, fans to embrace the other universes and to say, hey, we're all one place. You know, we can all come together and we can all support each other instead of having that rivalry and going against each other.
Yeah.
You know, let's just, you know, let's come together as a group, you know, and support one another. There doesn't need to be that division.
Well, and like at Death Star PR said on Twitter earlier, leaked dialogue from J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7. Live long and may the Force be with you, Jedi Master Spock. Because, I mean, can you think about all of the jokes that we could do? J.J. Abrams winds up directing both.
It's so predictable at this point. This is where to the point where
No. Hurley as a Jedi.
see, here's the deal. Death Star PR. It's kind of like a whole separate thing where there's obviously the lowest common denominator, obvious joke, and then boom, there you have Death Star PR's Twitter account. It's kind of depressing how large it is in some ways. Insert this predictable joke. But anyway, so yeah, PopWatch EW. This just was posted a couple minutes ago, and they have, and I don't even 14 ways of looking at J.J. Abrams' Star Wars, and I haven't even read this, but I'm gonna kind of skim this while we talk as well, and kind of and
actually already have it up.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
Actually, I think this is probably a pretty good way to break it down. So I'm actually going to start. Oh, goodness. This is
a very long article. I started reading it and was like, there's no way I'm going to get through this.
Yeah. I don't want to read it on air just because it's not that. But
sit around as we put you to sleep. It's time to go to bed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to put it into words. This really, I think, shows Disney is taking it super seriously. Like, I mean, it's obvious that Star Wars is a huge franchise. And when I hear, there are certain parts of me that once we process the Episode 7 news, I know it's going to be big because it's Star Wars. And, you know, and Star Wars has done well. I think $500 million was the Revenge of the Sith gross, $450, $500. This is domestic for each prequel, respectively, and that was that time. But we've moved into a newer age of an even newer age of the blockbuster where you have billion-dollar films, and that's like you have Avengers, you have Dark Knight Rises, you have The Dark Knight from 2008. These huge films that have smashed the box office records of Star Wars. And while these are big films, Avengers, I think especially with someone like J.J. Abrams at the helm, Star Wars Episode 7 has the potential to really be that billion-dollar tentpole film of the year, where it's like everyone's seeing this movie five times in a row over the summer. You go and see it, then you see it with your friends, then you see it with your family, then you see it with your coworkers, and you know, it's one of those. I think it has the potential to be that, and that potential's always been there, but I'm not sure I was as invested or had as much faith until we have news like this.
Well, and I think the one thing we can't do is we can't just assume that we know what it's going to be like just because we know how J.J. Abrams directed Star Trek.
Right,
you know,
true.
He may do something completely different because it is Star Wars.
The only thing this tells us is a level of competence and respect for the franchise that I think Disney has and wants to invest in. So when Disney says, we're going to get the Avengers, who do we want? They go to Whedon. They go to Joss Whedon. And when they say, we want Star Wars, the next Star Wars Episode 7, when they say, we want Abrams, that tells me, we want the next Avengers. We think that you know, Star Wars is the next, you know, huge tentpole type film. And I am all for that. That's what I would really like to see.
Well, actually, a curious thing is, while J.J. Abrams is a fairly well-known director because, you know, he's done Lost, he did Super 8, He did some episodes of Fringe and other television series that are somewhat well known these days, but he's not a long-term director. He has been directing since the 90s to some degree, but really only in shorts and not very well-known TV series. And he hasn't done that many films. So he's still a fairly new director, but I would say that he's definitely shown his competency in what he has done so far.
Well, yeah, if they decide to go ahead with an old version of Luke, and Luke decides to use the Force and beam himself from one planet to the other, I'd be okay with that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be like the only thing from Star Trek that I could see crossing over. That's like the last thing that Star Wars has never done.
No. You know what they could do? Like in one of the scenes, like if they're flying into like Coruscant or something, there could be the Enterprise, like really small, like flying into a hangar.
That would be kind of funny. But one thing I've noticed is Disney has liked its formulas. It will make its formulaic movies, and it will choose the well-known actors and directors to star and direct. But something that the Star Wars movies have typically done is not have very well-known people working on it. Those people often become well-known for their work in Star Wars. And so I could see Disney definitely pulling more of a, we want to make sure and get well-known people for this. Whereas if this were a traditional LFL-only film, then I would be a little less certain, actually. That would be one thing that influences my degree of certainty.
And we would have super awesome dialogue.
Definitely. All right. So, and Forbes just had an article that went up 15 minutes ago. And he basically states, and I'm going to read a little excerpt because this is kind of, now we're getting into the mainstream. Well, I guess it's been mainstream, but this is an interesting case, an example of mainstream reporting. It says, multiple sources are reporting that J.J. Abrams has been tapped to direct the next Star Wars film slated to hit theaters in 2015. Last month, Abrams denied that he was interested in taking on the franchise, saying he would rather be in the audience. And we reported that on the Star Wars Report. It's likely a big, fat, gigantic... It's likely a fat paycheck that helped change his mind. Chief Executive Robert Iger... I love that they call him Robert in Forbes. Bob Iger... has said that Star Wars is top priority for the Walt Disney Company, which paid, of course, $4 billion. So basically, as Iger said, we're releasing a Star Wars film every 2 or 3 years, and they're mining deep into the well of characters and situations and worlds that we've already seen in Star Wars. So it's pretty obvious. I don't think Abrams would be able to do every Star Wars movie for the next... I don't think he's doing 7, 8, and 9. Although I would love to see that thematic consistency.
Yeah.
Would you guys, do you think it would be better if Abrams did 7, 8, and 9? Or would you think it would be good to kind of hop and skip around? Weeding for
Okay, so I'm going to have to go off with this off of Harry Potter.
Okay. Which, by the way, Teresa, side note, Bethany and I just started a couple weeks ago, about once a week, we were going through all the Harry Potter films for the first time.
Oh, ever. Yay! Yeah. Well, so Harry Potter changed directors. They had the same director for 1 and 2. Then they changed on 3. And then they changed on 4. And then they changed on 5. And then they stayed the same, if I remember correctly, from 5 until the end. And I can honestly say that once they got to 5 and then they kept the same director all the way through to the end, it was much more cohesive and you could feel the growth of the characters as well as the growth of the actors and the growth of the story. So it might be good if he was on for 7, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. And Scott Hume just joined us in the chat, just signed on. He says, has anyone mentioned the composer given Abrams' long relationship with Giacchino, dating at least as far back as the Alias TV show?
Remember back when our composer speculation episode.
We did.
We actually did bring up Michael Giacchino as
because
someone.
He has actually Giacchino's worked in Star Wars before and doing Star Tours soundtrack. So yeah, if John Williams is not doing it, then I would say Abrams would be probably getting Giacchino.
You know, Joey in the chat says something interesting as well, that Abrams has molded himself in the image of Spielberg and Lucas. That actually, that clicks with me because of the image of the director that I have in my head, because they seem to be doing somewhat similar things, a similar career path.
Well, who's the guy that does the music for the Clone Wars cartoon? I don't know his name.
Kevin Kiner.
See, but he would be good too.
Well, I don't think so. I think it would be he's good in his field, which is television, and good with the Clone Wars. But I'm always a bigger fan of using more homages to the John Williams soundtrack and being more thematic than Kevin Kiner is, because Kevin Kiner is a very competent composer, but he's not particularly thematic in the way he composes.
Yeah.
What is Ahsoka's theme, and how often do we hear it? There is one, but it's not like Anakin's theme from Episode 1, and it's not like, you know, the love theme. Duel of the Fates. You don't have that. I can't think of a single Clone Wars song or soundtrack that would actually do well in a concert suite, if you will.
I can, but it's as if Kevin Kiner is always hesitant to bring the music to the foreground. And that was something that really liked.
No, that may not be a Kevin Kiner thing. That's not a critique of Kevin Kiner. That can be the audio production or the direction of the episode.
It seems like he does a Hans Zimmer thing occasionally, where he doesn't go into the whole theme of something.
Batman, anyone? Yeah.
Yes. But that's one thing I liked hearing in the Rebel Force Radio interview with Dave Filoni on their debut show, was hearing him say that the music would be taking more of a front seat in this season. And I was very glad to hear that, because I love Star Wars music and I like music in general.
Yeah, but I was going to bring up that point too, that they did mention that.
Someone in the chat was questioning why we have this topic up, asking what is Williams in poor health? And I answered them, but just for the audience who may not have heard our previous episode, Williams is still working, and it would be great if he could come back. But he is quite old now, quite elderly. Well, we're not sure that he could do a whole trilogy.
And here's the thing: as a Star Wars fan and a huge fan of film music and John Williams turned 80 this year. But you know, if you're healthy, it doesn't matter. You can compose music. If you're still in your right mind and can type or write, you can compose music. And certainly, John Williams is still active. I don't think it's necessarily, as a Star Wars fan, we're like, well, of course, if he can, you would get John Williams. Who else would you get? But if you're J.J. Abrams and you want to negotiate your vision for Star Wars in the future, and you might want a slightly different sound than John Williams, that's a possibility, and I would want to be open to that, because I think it's very easy as Star Wars fans to get trapped in a, and I see this all the time, with a very automatic, well, of course John Williams would do it unless John Williams said no. I mean, there's a reasonable chance either Disney or J.J. Abrams or whoever's producing or making the casting or whoever makes the decisions says, you know what, we want a new composer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would be the end of the world, as much as I am a self-admitted fan of John Williams. So, I don't know.
See, and that was kind of my point with J.J. doing all three. I mean, Teresa brings up great points, but look at Star Trek. He's only doing the first two and then bailing from that franchise. I mean, we can't exactly lock him in to all three unless we sign him up at once. You know, I mean, it would be great, but I'm not seeing him with Trek, so I'm very hesitant to say we could lock him down again unless they flat out put it in his contract. You're going to be doing all three, boom, at once.
True. Yeah.
So right now, he has IMDb just has the last film he did was Adventures of Tintin. He was the conductor, and what was the film? And of course, and Harry Potter. He did the Harry Potter films. What else has he done recently? Wasn't there that...
Who, John Williams?
Yes, yeah. Well, what else has he done recently?
John Williams didn't do all the Harry Potter films. He only did... He did just the first two, Prisoner and then he Azkaban. Moved on. So the main theme everyone knows from Harry Potter is his, but after that, it's changed.
Thank you. Scott in the chat room just said Lincoln. That's what I was thinking of from this year. I knew he did something recently, and he did Lincoln with Spielberg.
Yes, he just did Lincoln, which was wonderful. The score from Lincoln was really beautiful.
We have not had the chance to see Lincoln, so that might be one to go see. So, I mean, he's still active, and the latest thing he has on tap is Star Wars Underworld, the TV series, which, you know, God bless him, IMDb says is in production. I think they're a little bit ahead. But he's also announced that he's composer of the theme music, which I don't necessarily think that means the actual whole soundtrack for Jurassic Park 4. So that may or may not mean anything.
Mm, well, that would make sense. Oh, and just to let you guys know, USA Today has now posted it.
Huh, okay, so, I mean, dominoes keep falling.
Mm-hmm.
Projections are in. 99
force
cents
is coming into balance again. Everything is looking good. 96%
of the precincts are reporting in. So where was I?
Well, you know, even if he doesn't do it, there's a lot of composers out there that would be really good. We've talked about a couple of them, but, you know, Danny Elfman.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Danny Elfman, I think, he's...
Danny Elfman's a good composer, but his sound is so different, if you know what I mean.
It's Batman-y.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And just note to the folks in the chat room, unfortunately, the links are being... blocked out. I don't know how to fix that live, but if you can, Bethany, figure that out, that'd be awesome. But otherwise, all right, so here we go. J.J. Abrams, right now, he's a producer tapped for 2015's Mission Impossible 5. He's also producing the Untitled Cloverfield sequel. He's executive producer of a television movie called Believe, same deal with Wunderkind, and Star Trek Into Darkness he's the producer of. Also producing the ongoing NBC series Revolution. Busy guy. But that's all only through 2013, and that's this year. So I'm assuming pre-production of Star Wars Episode 7's going to start in the next couple of months.
I believe that it was official that pre-production would be starting in early spring of 2013.
Yeah, wasn't that on StarWars.com? I believe it was.
Somewhere, yes. Maybe it was.
The publicly known knowledge. They're like, but what we're not telling you is we've been in works for like the last 4 years.
Yes.
Definitely. Mm. Okay. So, I think we've pretty much covered everything on that particular topic. I mean, there's nothing really else to know until it's officially announced, and then we would have, and then I think we'll have a bit more to discuss.
Well, actually, I cut out while you guys were talking about whether or not y'all were excited about it or not.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I mean, Teresa, the reality is I think everyone knows that you're kind of tepid as far as
J.J. Yeah, is. A little bit. I don't know. No.
You're ice cold.
I'm ice cold. Penguin style. Anyway.
Whoop, okay. Penguin style.
Whoop, penguin style.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Sorry. I think we get it. I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. And I don't care if there's lens flare. Moving on.
All right.
Okay. So I think we're going to move quickly to a couple other quick announcements that have happened in the rest of the Star Wars fan community. And a new Darth Maul book. Some really cool stuff that's been happening on Twitter today for Star Wars fan sites. And more coming right up after this. Ice cold penguin style. All right. I couldn't resist, Mark. All right. So here we go. The first thing I want to touch on is this morning, and this will pretty much wrap up this episode. This morning, I just want to cover it. A bunch of Star Wars fan sites that I would be hesitant to bring up the names because I couldn't remember them all, but a ton of us got together using hashtag SWS. Let me try that again. Using hashtag SWFS. It was basically a fan site summit, Star Wars fan site summit, and we had a great time kind of brainstorming, discussing ideas, tips and tricks for running a Star Wars fan site and just general connecting and discussing, and it was amazing. You know, Club Jade, sandtroopers.com, Fangirl Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we participated in a bajillion other fan sites. I just wanted to take y'all's impression from that today and see what you guys thought and what you guys took away from it today.
Well, I really enjoyed...
Good.
We're all so excited. So,
Bethany and I should just pretend we have Skype lag, even though we're in the same room.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed participating in it and reading everybody else's thoughts because it's interesting to see people from anywhere who have been doing Star Wars fan sites for 13, maybe even 15 years. I saw a couple of them, to new people, to someone who started one today because of this fan site seminar. They got so excited about it. But there were so many pieces of advice, anything from tuning out fan negativity to reporting tips, to knowing your limitations as a graphic designer, to talking about what do you bring and what don't you bring to the site, and you know, how other people respond to you. Since you're a fan site, you're putting out your opinion, people will respond to it one way or the other.
Right, and I was on there pretty much from the very beginning when I got up this morning because I knew that it was going on, and I had a blast doing it and getting to answer some questions. Some people had questions about how to get interviews and how to go about it the right way. Some people had questions about how to get involved in the fan community and what are the ways that we did that. People were asking what our moments were when we really started developing our fan sites and why we were doing it. You know, so we got to give them that background on where a lot of us started from. You know, and I think one of the best parts for me about it is that everyone that was giving advice in there are people that I have networked with, you know, and are that I know, you know, so it was all like a group of friends that was coming together to help other people. And that was very cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it's as someone who's been who started a Star Wars fan site, StarWarsReport.com, and we've seen it grow a lot. It's been definitely a huge opportunity, and it's really cool to hear the different perspectives, because it's amazing to be, you know, Star Wars fan sites have the, you know, there's like in any community, there's always seems to be some kind of politics involved, but it's amazing to me when you come together how much alike everyone seems to think in a big public group setting like that. So it's funny how that works.
I'm just glad somebody recapped it, because I wasn't able to, you know, I was working. I worked till 2. I'm on the Pacific Coast. And you know, as we were talking before, most of it died down as I got off work. So I didn't really have a chance to enjoy it. And it was on Twitter. And, you know, if you have a phone app, I'm sure you understand how Twitter works on there and how, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, if people are tweeting like crazy about things, you just don't see anything. So, you know, when it comes to events on Twitter, it's fun if you're in that moment, but if you're not finding the stuff, unless somebody's recapping it, for me, it's pointless.
Well, you know what was cool about it is the just array of people that were on there. I mean, we had Club Jade, we had EU Cantina, we had Galactic Voyage, we had Fangirl Cantina, we had Yak Face, we had, you know, more of the collecting community. We had, you know, Eric Geller was there, so many different people. And, you know, I'm sure I'm leaving people out. You know, obviously the Star Wars Report was in there as well. Star Wars Books was there, and even John Jackson Miller showed up.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, and he was answering questions about how to get in touch with authors, you know, and like what the ways are that authors like to do interviews. And he was encouraging people to really try to do audio interviews with authors, because you get something that's not as scripted and you can get delve into things with them more and learn more about who they are. And he was also giving ideas about how to link to their stuff, and, you know, about how authors really like it when people who are interviewing, like for Star Wars and stuff, but also talk to them about their non-licensed projects and things like that. So it was really interesting, because we got a lot of people, you know, that were sharing it, you know, from official Lucasfilm Star Wars people to
Star Wars, the official Star Wars account shared it.
Yep.
That's awesome, because it's and I love to see, I really hope to see more gatherings of this kind in the future as well. So this just in, Zack Snyder confirmed to be directing Star Wars Episode 7. No. yeah, we got Jason from the Wampus there joining us the podcast. Welcome to the chat, Jason. Really awesome to have you here. Yep. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, and I want to touch on one final topic before we close out today's episode, and we probably will do one last recap of the Abrams news after that. But the last thing I want to touch on today is I'm going to pull up StarWarsReport.com, fantastic site if you guys have heard of it, and pull up an article that I put up this morning, or afternoon, rather. There's the latest Star Wars book was announced. Mark, have you had a chance to see this yet, by any chance?
I have indeed. I have From the Mind of Joe Schreiber, New York Best Time Selling... All right. No, New York Times best-selling author of Star Wars Death Troopers comes the delirious follow-up to last year's Darth Plagueis. In a tale of retribution and survival set before the events of The Phantom Menace, Darth Plagueis and Darth Sidious dispatch Sith apprentice Darth Maul on a secret mission to infiltrate a criminal empire operating from inside Cog Hive 7. That sounds like Deep Space Nine. A hidden prison teeming with the galaxy's most savage criminals, or savage criminals. There he must contend against the scummiest and most villainous in gladiatorial death matches while carrying out his master's clandestine commands. Failure is not an option. Success will ignite the revenge of the Sith against the Jedi Order. Now, the first thing, though, when I read that, that strikes me is they kind of like a flip-flop. You know, they talk about it being the delirious follow-up to last year's Darth Plagueis, which sounds like it's going to follow Darth Plagueis. And then they go, in a tale set before the events of The Phantom Menace. It's like, oh, okay, so it's not really following Darth Plagueis at all. Why did you throw that in there? Because, just to get some Darth Plagueis love?
Because it sold a lot of copies, Mark. Welcome. I love the word that scummiest is used in this official
I know. This release.
And well, you know, I gotta say, funny. I love the cover.
Yeah, cover. The cover looks pretty awesome, and those eyes are really creepy, as usual. The Maul fan in me is quite excited.
You know what was really funny about this announcement is that when it came out, everybody was talking in Twitter on the SWFS, and then this posted. And everybody was gone, and it was completely silent, because that's how you know it was a fan site seminar, because everybody left to go and put it on their fan sites, including myself. Yeah.
Sorry, yes. Busy now. News is breaking right now. Gotta go. Yeah. These boffins are dying.
What I think is hilarious is that everybody was already joking at the beginning of the day. Oh, this is going to be the day that news is announced, so all of us are just going to disappear from this seminar. And then it happened.
I know. Somebody did make that comment. I wish I could find the tweet of who was the first person that said that. That was like, wouldn't it be funny? And then, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not sure who first said it. But I don't remember. Saw several other people who agreed.
It was in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the art, and actually this is one that I'll put on tap as, color me interested.
Yeah.
The more I hear about it, the more I'll be.
What do you guys think that the plot of this book will look like? Because it's Joe Schreiber who did Death Troopers. That in and of itself is going to make it an interesting read, because it's not your typical Fate of the Jedi type of thing, which it definitely has its place, but it's just very different. And they're taught... mentioning as a follow-up to Darth Plagueis may just be, oh, we're mentioning it because we knew Darth Plagueis was awesome and well-received, or it really could be a literal follow-up to Darth Plagueis. But we have Darth Maul in prison. So again, we have this kind of underworld element. What is it with Star Wars and the underworld / criminal element recently? I really like it. I think it's cool.
They're pushing the movie. Or, the live-action TV show. They got to get you hooked on the cartels if that's going to sell.
Yeah, that may be the case. Live-action TV show. But see, there's something bigger in Star Wars these days. Episode 7. And it's kind of interesting to see just these books and comics and the live-action show and the Clone Wars recently and the video games all take a kind of an underworldish tone.
Well, I think it's because they've told all the stories that they can tell about stuff that has nothing to do with the underworld, what's really left. I mean, they've beat everything else up.
Mandalorians!
Mandalorians!
Well, you know, yeah. when it gets to that point where, like Bethany was saying, if it's a follow-up, I was immediately, when I saw that, I was like, I didn't even read the rest. I was like, oh, Maul's going to get captured somehow. I was thinking this is going to take place after the Clone Wars and all that. And I was like, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. But then I said, okay, it's going to be in the Phantom Menace era. This is when Maul goes up against Black Sun. He takes out Black Sun in the comics. He goes up against a couple other criminal organizations. I mean, this is actually what he is doing at this time. So that fits perfect. I am interested, though, how they plan on tying that in, if they do. I mean, it's Joe Schreiber. He's not really known for tying a lot of other EU elements in. This could be the one major opportunity he has beyond just bringing in, like, Han and Chewie. But, I mean, the fact that it's Maul and it's inside a crime, you know, hive, and the fact that it's a prison called Cog Hive, I love that, you know, Cog Hive 7. But that grittiness of it, I think that the fact that they've picked him, a horror novel writer, that we're definitely going to have a horror novel feel to it, and I'm excited for that. I mean, is Maul going to be Jack the Ripper?
That's awesome. A very interesting comparison.
Well, y'all know I love Maul.
We're all big fans. Like when people say "Mean Phantom Menace," that's how they say it. By the way, you know, at least that's how I hear it in my head. I'll say one word. I'm like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when I hear it in my head, it's episode 7 really sucks and it's no fun. It kind of blows, and I'm like Darth Maul, and he's like, "Oh, you're right."
Actually, usually that I don't get the "you're right." Anyway, we won't get.
Well, I think anybody who tells me that episode 1 sucks can just go jump off a bridge.
Go get sliced in half and thrown down a reactor shaft. That's what they can do.
Yeah, because it's my second favorite movie.
You know what's funny about that reactor shaft? Last night was scouts for my son, and they were doing charades, so I acted out Maul getting cut in half, being rebuilt as a spider droid, then losing his legs, having them rebuilt as human legs. And they're all like looking at me like, "What?" And I'm looking at my son, I'm like, "You didn't get that, really? You of all people?" And he's looking at me like, "Dad, that was even too far out there for me."
Two quick things before we go. I do want to touch on the Abrams thing one more time. Mm-hmm. I also know that Jason from the Wampus Lair podcast, it's a fantastic podcast, is in the chat room. And Jason, you know, so let me know in the chat or over Skype if you're able to come on air. Because if you do, I want to pull you in and get your thoughts on Abrams. And
AKA suit up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put on your Star Wars Report outfit.
Activate.
Oh, one thing we didn't mention, Jet Lucas tweeted about
that's what
J.J.
I wanted
Abrams.
To cover. So let's jump into it. Let's dive in, because I think this is a good way to cap. We started and we'll finish with the Abrams news. Okay, so we have – let me kind of recap out loud. This is kind of for my own sanity. So far, we have The Wrap starting the rumors, and then Variety – saying that they confirmed it, and then a number of other sources saying that they had confirmed it, and then it started being picked up by Forbes, LA Times, The New York Times.
EW said they separately source confirmed it.
EW said that they had confirmed it. We had Diane Sawyer on ABC World News of questionable sobriety. Diane Sawyer. I'm sorry. It's too easy.
Anyway,
it's like,
she confirmed it, but yeah. Also there's an article on ABC's official website confirming it, sourcing The Wrap and Deadline, though. Okay. So they didn't source
so
the Disney main site.
Stuff.
Also, if I may say, we're saying confirmed because that's what these sites have said themselves. But to me, confirmed is
it's when
we
Lucas
hear
went.
It from Star Wars or Lucasfilm. Yeah. We hear it from Disney or we hear it from Abrams.
Lucasfilm, they've had the past 2.5-3 hours to get the official word out. And if I'm Lucasfilm, here's what confirms it to me. And this is just me speaking out loud, the obvious. Not Kathleen Kennedy. Who's head of fan relations? I don't know. You're Steve Sansweet. You're Matt Martin. You're somebody at StarWars.com. You're a Star Wars official person. and the entire internet is blowing up, and Diane Sawyer is reporting live on ABC News that this is happening, they would be so fast on the trigger to put out the denial than they would this. And so this is exactly what happened with the Michael Arndt doing the writing when that news broke. At this point, it's got to be purely contract-based negotiations that they just simply can't confirm it until there's a paper that's been signed, or you know, something signed in blood.
In a dark room on a 13th of Friday.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so I'm pulling.
Jason says he's in Skype now.
Really quick on that Darth Maul, I was noticing here, they say, yes, Darth Maul is the new Snake Plissken. And I'm like, where have I heard that name before? Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, Escape from L.A., you know, played by one good old boy that we love, Kurt Russell. I'm like, really? Is that going to be the type of book we should expect?
Yeah. Oh, welcome into the program, Mr. Jason Hunt of the Wampus Lair Podcast. How you doing, Jason? Good to hear. I can hear you.
I'm doing fine. Riley, how you doing? I know you've been listening to The Wampus Lair, an excellent podcast, if I do say so myself. I'm glad to be here. Sorry my co-host couldn't be here. I got my beautiful mic. It's a microphone. It's a lot like Mark's. It's a C1U. It's excellent. I love it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's do final thoughts, and we'll see if Jason can join us. I know Jason's in the call. All right,
there we go. My mic was not hooked up correctly. There we go. I'm good now.
So you're sitting there talking so excitedly, and then you realize Hello. None of us could hear you.
All right.
Your
so
mic sounds beautiful, so Jason, by the way.
Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, thank you. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. This is Zack Snyder
ABC
all over
World
again.
ABC World News is wrong. Diane Sawyer is wrong.
Yes. I'm saying... The rap.com that broke this story is a website I've never, ever, ever heard of in my life. And they said that their source was an individual with knowledge of the project.
Well, see, here's the thing, Jason.
I'm in college and you're supposed to source your articles. This doesn't give me confidence.
Well, this isn't the rap. I can understand if it's the rap. Like at 6 o'clock this evening, it was rumor and I didn't think it would happen.
Yeah,
but
I didn't believe
a word. EW said that they independently confirmed it, and then it started coming from Deadline and other places that they independently confirmed it.
But what if they're both unknowingly talking to the same guy?
It's gotta
I'm going to throw this rumor out there, Rick, because I know that these guys are going to believe me. But the funny thing is, these EW guys contacted me too, and now they think they're two different guys. And jokes on you, sucker, Star Trek, Star Wars fans. I mean, you know, what if somebody's out there just laughing? I worked with guys like this. I mean, there are people out there that have fun watching us fans freak out. Granted, it is fun to freak out, but there are some that just do it just to watch us like ants playing their little demonic gods over us. I remember Palpatine now.
Wow. Where do you go from there? I mean, it's... here's what I'm thinking.
Honestly.
There's a source that's leaking information from Lucasfilm. This is probably what's happened. And this is me operating off of the theory that it is happening. So that's where I'm coming from. A source inside Lucasfilm that's leaking the information. The Rap are the first people to pick it up, who, you're right, Jason, never heard of them. At which point you have sites like EW and Deadline probably contacting the Rap, as well as all these big sites, contacting the Rap and say, hey, who's your leak? The Rap is probably giving the contact info from the leak inside Lucasfilm. And that's the guy who's leaking this information. So when they say independently confirmed, it's probably that same quote-unquote source familiar with the information. But I still have enough faith in the journalistic integrity of organizations like the New York Times, Forbes magazine, not EW.
But didn't the New York Times also report on Zack Snyder as well?
As a rumor, yes.
That was okay.
So these are organizations that do classify as rumor when they rumor, and they aren't. And to be fair, most of these organizations aren't saying it's official from Lucasfilm. They're saying
we have a source
that's saying this fact. This is happening based on who we've talked to. So they're staking their, albeit they're not saying it's official from Lucasfilm. They're just staking their reputation, as a new organization, as they always do when reporting something like this, on the fact that this is happening. So, I mean, now what I'm curious, Jason, are you still unconvinced?
I'm still unconvinced. I'm still hearing J.J. Abrams' words from November saying, no, I'm still doing Star Trek. I'm not going to do Star Wars because I'm such a big fan of Star Wars and I don't want to have to make decisions regarding Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So as I would love it if it was true, I'm not convinced that it's going to happen. So
I guess how quickly
I want to say yes, but there's so much of me that wanted the Zack Snyder rumor that I'm like, you know, and Disney's been so tight-lipped. There's a lot of stuff in the whole of the Star Wars fandom that has not been even addressed yet. Sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm still waiting for like a huge press release, you know, one that's like, okay, at this time, everybody tune in because we're going to have huge news. And they say that for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And
how quickly?
This is just a quick thought. This is what's had to happen. This announcement's been around since what? What was it? November that it originally broke? October, maybe? I think it was like the last week of October that this news first broke, that they were doing episode 7. Disney was buying. Big news, big news. That's 3-4 months. They have had to have had a director that they're talking to before they even made this announcement. So if this rumor is true, negotiations for a director previously would have had to have failed, and J.J. Abrams would have had to have been contacted after he said he was not going to do it. Or at least had turned it down and then changed his mind. Because that process had to have changed at some point. Because they can't have been talking to J.J. Abrams trying to convince him to do this for the past 4 months. So behind the scenes, whether it was Matthew Vaughn that was heavily rumored and some of these other directors, what's happening is probably not. And with a writer working on it and a production team probably already on it, they don't have to have a director at this stage. But as pre-production starts getting serious this spring, that's when it's becoming more and more imperative. So they're getting down to the wire. They're getting down to probably 2 or 3 months before they really need to have a director. So,
yeah. That's one of the reasons why I don't think JJ is going to do it, because he's pretty much got stuff he's doing on up until summer. And so he would have to really like skip, you know, cut it really, really close, and I don't know if he'd want to do that. So
yeah,
well, it depends on how involved he is in the post production, because they've wrapped filming the trailers out. It's essentially just post production and touching it up, and a lot of times film producers do that role. Now, for instance, Peter Jackson, someone who's extremely involved in the post production, but other directors aren't as involved in the post production. So I'm not sure that fully disqualifies this what is essentially rumor.
One quick question: how quickly were the rumors of Matthew Vaughn and Zack Snyder shot down officially? Shot down.
Day or two later?
They were never shot down officially, I don't think. I just think,
no, I'm pretty sure they were, where it's like it's not happening.
His Zack Snyder's people,
well, that
shot
was
it,
yeah,
damn.
Zack Snyder, his own people said it's not happening. Matthew Vaughn, I don't remember anything happening one way or the other, other than the fact that an actor who's worked with him before said, oh, yeah, he's doing it. So, like, just from what I know, I'm guessing it was negotiations with Matthew Vaughn that fell through that then, you know, started taking place in the past couple weeks with J.J. Abrams after he said he wouldn't be doing it, and this is why it's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, perhaps I'm a sucker, but like I said at the opening of the show, if we've done all this discussion for the past hour about J.J. Abrams, if it's a lie, if it's malarkey, if we've been hoodwinked, hoodlumed, the wool pulled over our eyes, fooled, tricked,
the negotiations never happened.
You know, if this has happened, at least we are in very good company. At least, you know.
Huffington Post.
Yeah, this is probably one of the bigger chat boxes I've seen since we've gone live.
Yeah, and I guess that's one thing that makes the difference is this moved very quickly, and very quickly major sites were claiming that their own sources had confirmed it
for
them.
And they're not saying our independent source, which is also the independent source of so-and-so, which is also, yeah, they're saying, and I'm betting you any time, because this is how it works, and I'm, like I say, I'm not super, super involved in the – in the journalistic or news industry, but I know enough about it and I know a couple people in it to know that when you're talking Forbes, when you're talking New York Times, phone calls are being made. This is not just a fan site reposting news from another site, which, you know, which the calls are being made for confirmation where they're talking to. For New York Times to do that, a reporter called the source, talked to them personally, and said, "Is this happening?" So whether that source is full of baloney, that is a genuine possibility. But
well, let's put it this way: the Oregon Ducks head coach.
Here's the deal. Sorry to interrupt, Mark. Just a quick point. And here's Jason. We pointed out earlier: why on earth would Lucasfilm not be, you know, tail on fire saying, no, this isn't true? Because everyone's now excited about it and expecting it. And considering Diane Sawyer reported it an hour and a half ago live on ABC World News to the world, you would think that they would be quickly saying, no, this ain't happening.
So does Lucasfilm ever deny rumors?
They have.
Okay, because they didn't do that with Zack Snyder, and so I'm just wondering if they just wait until they have the real news to announce and don't really pay attention to a lot of rumors.
They tweeted not to believe everything you see or something like that with the Zack Snyder one, but they left it open where it could have been interpreted on any comment.
Yeah. Well, and okay. I think that the difference between this story and the Zack Snyder story is, again, these different major reputable websites and companies are reporting it as our source has said.
You know who did not pile on the Zack Snyder story? New York Times.
Yeah, they said, okay, well, this site is claiming that this is happening, so here's a rumor. And they're not doing that with this.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that Diane Sawyer said it on ABC. ABC is a Disney website, or Disney News, Disney Channel, Disney. It's Disney.
Yes.
Yeah, you would think they'd have a statement there. Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to what I was saying about Oregon, the Oregon Ducks head coach, Chip Kelly, recently said he was not going to go to the NFL. They've been having one of their best seasons ever. You know, they went to a bowl game. They're doing awesome. And so he got done saying that, and not even like, I don't think 2 weeks to a month later, the NFL, I can't even remember which team. I mean, they offered him enough money, and he decided, boom, he's going to do it. And so, you know, people were just flipping out. Same thing. They're like, well, he just got done saying he wasn't going to do it. And then he turned around. What a sellout. I mean, so I could see that, you know, enough money. Lucas sold Star Wars. I mean, enough money and anything is possible.
All right.
And I think about from Abrams' side on this, you have an opportunity to be the first director in the new Star Wars trilogy. I don't care what else I'm doing. I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, you have not only on your credits, you are the reboot master for Star Trek, but also for Star Wars. And I use the term reboot very loosely. But I think it's pretty exciting. I do think it's more certain to be true than Zack Snyder because of the way it's being reported. But still, I'm not certain. We've not seen it officially confirmed.
Okay, updates. Beep, 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 beep. This is why we're doing this live. 8 minutes ago, posted on abcnews.go.com. All right, so this is pretty much as official as we're probably going to get tonight. It's not Lucasfilm confirmation, but I just kind of skimmed the article, so you guys bear with me. This is some new information to help contribute to the discussion. Los Angeles, January 25th at 8:32 p.m. Eastern Standard
January 25th?
Yeah, today's 26th.
That's obviously their computer jumping forward.
Ah, look at that. Okay.
Where is this? I'm trying to find it.
All right, I'm going to throw a link in the chat and see if it works before I start. So here you guys go in the chat. It's not working. Oh, well. All right, so I'll just go straight to it. If you could Google news search Star Wars right now, it'll happen, but we're boring the audio listeners to death. So here we go. according to multiple trade reports, Abrams, 46, is set to direct the next installment of Star Wars 7 for Disney, and due out comes 2015, maybe $4 billion. They always have to do the summary, so I'm just kind of...
I'm slipping into Charlie Brown speak.
The Emmy Award...
Oh, now you're getting all snatch with all right, so here we go. Pitt. the pikey.
Citing unnamed sources, the news was reported earlier by Hollywood trade outlets The Wrap, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, and Daily Variety. Messages left by the Associated Press for Abrams representatives, as well as Disney and Lucasfilm, were not immediately answered. Soon after the news broke Thursday afternoon, websites were flushed with chatter. Robert Orci, a producer that's worked with Abrams on Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, appeared to confirm the reports on Twitter in response to a question about Abrams' involvement. He tweeted back, true. He also responded to a Spanish-speaking questioner, creo que sí. I think so. Creo que sí.
Well, to touch briefly on what...
Creo que sí. Creo que. Not que. Yeah. Because it's Americans that have to do the...
Creo que sí.
Creo que sí.
No habla English.
Creo que. All right, so despite denying his interest in directing Star Wars following the Disney October announcement, many people picked him as the obvious choice. And so basically that's what we have. I'm looking for any last additional things. Adam Fraser, who's a staff writer for Entertainment GeeksOfDoom.com, said Abrams should be able to make the next Star Wars original, but at the same time appease longtime fans. Okay, that's not really particularly pertinent news, but worth quoting.
One quick comment that I wanted to mention, though, was Mark said, you know, with enough money, the deal becomes right. But at the same time, what may have happened is if Abrams was approached, but the deal wasn't quite right because of his schedule, because of Star Trek Into Darkness and these other things, then he would have had to say no because of prior commitments. But he may have said, you know, I'd love to, but I really can't because I can't do two films at the same time. But Star Wars could have come back, and I just say Star Wars. They could have come back to Abrams and said, you know, we will postpone it or push it back a couple of months if you can come on and direct it, or you don't have to be involved with the initial pre-production, or, you know, they could have changed the deal and gone back to him. So it could have been another deal given to him, a revised edition of a contract that he could have accepted the second time around. If he made it clear, hey, I'm really interested, but I can't with the way that you first approached me.
Yeah. I guess I could just go back.
See, my roommate, really, he thinks that the next movie, 7, is going to be bumping Avengers for the time slot, whereas I'm one of the opinions that it's going to go and be in the winter slot and become a winter movie. You know, that to me seems like, you know, if they're going to do something like what you're saying, the winter slot would definitely be the way to go and still keep it in 2013, give you the most time to work on the project still and hit the original deadline without moving it into 2014.
Yeah. 15.
I meant 16.
2018.
Well, I mean, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is the movies that Disney actually has coming up for 2015. I don't know if you guys know, but, I mean, there's going to be Pirates of the Caribbean 5. There's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, they've got a lot of tentpole movies that they would be using as their summer films. So, I mean, what Mark is saying makes sense for them to go ahead and move it to maybe like a winter release.
Mm-hmm.
I would make sense, because when you speak, that's been something that I've thought would be the case as well, would be that it would be a winter release film. And winter release films have been more successful this year. This year had the extremely successful Skyfall and Twilight and a lot of these films.
Hobbit.
Yeah, The Hobbit.
Hobbit.
Yeah.
All these films that have...
I'm like, what are you talking... What's Skyfall? What is this movie? Hobbit? Hello?
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up November and December for 2015 as far as confirmed films from ComingSoon.net. I'm going to compare a little bit. But yeah, and I think Star Wars would make a fine winter film. The idea of a summer blockbuster isn't going to be quite the case as much anymore. And a lot of this has to do with international box office as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't care where money is coming from. They care more about, you know, the fact that it's making money. So I don't think, summer is a necessary thing. So, okay, May 1st is Marvel's Avengers 2.
Well, times are a-changing. I mean, think about that. I mean, the economy has shifted. Summertime, people are out doing free things. They're going to the river. They're, you know, they're taking hikes. Sitting inside a theater is not really something that is cost-effective. But wintertime, you're staying inside more often than not. You're huddling up with your family. It's cold outside. You got more money to spend. Christmas time, hey, let's go to a movie. I mean, that just makes more sense. I'm seeing, you know, the big popular summer blockbuster shifting to a winter blockbuster. The way that the movie industry looks at those seasons should be changing, and I think the economy is driving that.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Just the pertinent things. December is December 2015 is the next Avatar film, so I don't think it would come out in December. November, the tentpole film is The Hunger Games. September doesn't really have anything in it, but September's a little early. I don't recall any big tentpoles coming out in September this year. These are just months that we know what's coming out. July is the Pirates of the Caribbean 5. May is the Avengers. Now, these are all Disney films, so I think that really just blocks out summer, because unless you're going to release a film within, you know, 2 weeks...
Yeah, you don't want your own films to compete against each other.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a, if I had to guess, it's going to be an October release. You heard it here first. That's just my guess. Reporting confirmed. October 2015 is the release date.
See, they're going to move Avatar. It's going to go into October. They're going to give it winter, man. December's where it's at.
Yeah, I think, Mark, though, that we can be very confident that it is a winter release, just based on the current Disney release schedule, because just purely financially, it's not a smart idea to release a big, huge tentpole movie.
See, you're going to have to tell my roommate this, because, man, we go rounds about it, like, nightly. Like, no, it's not happening, man. They're not bumping the Avengers. Oh, absolutely. They're not going to give Avengers Star Wars slot. I mean, we go back and forth.
Well, I mean, the reality is the last Star Wars film made 500-something million local, and the last Avengers film made $1 billion. So, you know, when you think about just box office, if I'm as much as a Star Wars fan I am, if I'm a suit up at Disney, I'm thinking, you know, Avengers 2 takes priority. All right, guys, I think we've pretty much covered everything to death. Who knows? Yeah. You know, I think this time next week, Jason, you may have to see what some crow tastes like. I hear it.
I would love to eat that crow, but I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. I, like I said, I would love to see this be true, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. And again, I still have a bit of me that's reserved for, you know, they still haven't come out and announced it officially. But here's hoping.
All right, guys, that does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. But before we go, gotta make sure the music isn't drowning your guys' ear out. I want to get everyone's final thoughts, and we'll start with you, Teresa, since Jason, you kind of gave yours, and so we'll jump over to Teresa.
For what?
Intelligent and insightful commentary that will cap off this episode, leaving our listeners pondering the meaning of life.
Oh, well, I don't really have anything smart to say other than stay tuned, and maybe the next couple of days we'll know something. Follow on Twitter.
Yes, follow all of us. We'll plug all the Twitter handles.
Ice cold penguin style on Twitter.
Whoop,
right here.
Penguin style, whoop. Whoop. Yeah, definitely. And follow us at Star Wars Report, and that's where you'll find all the breaking news.
Indeed.
My goodness, man. We'll say, and you, Mr. Mark,
that's right, Whistler. Be scared, be excited, be a Star Wars fan.
Well said. And you, Bethany, final thoughts.
Final thoughts are, I would be quite excited if this were to come to fruition. I'm not 100% sold, but I do think that it was more likely than either the Zack Snyder or the Michael Arndt rumors.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is by far the juiciest and most sourced rumor. So, I mean, I'll put it this way. I'll rephrase what I said at the beginning of the show. When I saw Star Trek, the 2009 film, the reboot, if you will, that was a film that I thought, this is what I would want Star Wars to be like. This is what I think, this is the scale, this is the grandiosity, make up a word. This is the the level of storytelling talent that's needed for the epic visual medium that is Star Wars. And as Star Wars moves into a new era, I think whether it's J.J. Abrams or someone else, it has to be someone who has a love for the franchise, who will take it seriously and bring Star Wars into a new era. And I think that's something that George Lucas was not able to do with the prequels, as much as I love them. And so I think that's something that also has the potential now. I've never heard so many people jumping back on the bandwagon and, you know, coming back into the fold of Star Wars fans. They may have not have liked the prequels. They may not have liked the direction of the expanded universe, but this kind of news has them excited. And I think J.J. Abrams is the kind of person who can deliver that. So whether true or not, I'm still very excited for Episode 7. And, you know, I am 99% sure. And Jason?
Yes.
In the final minute and 30 seconds that we have, steak bet. I will buy you a steak dinner. I'll give you a gift card. I'll mail it to you if I'm wrong. You want to take that bet?
Yes, I will take that bet.
Done and done. It's a we got to nail down a number, though. A $20 gift card to your steakhouse of choice. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Red
Sounds
Lobster.
Good.
It's on. Sizzler. Oh, my goodness. This is a first for me. I'm kind of nervous now. We'll see. All right. So here we go. I'm betting $20 on Diane Sawyer. We'll see how this goes.
Uh-oh, guys.
I've never done this live. All right. Done and done. That
Riley.
Does it for this episode of the Star Wars. What's up?
What?
Rolling Stone. Kensetta Parker just linked Rolling Stone.
What's going on?
That the Rolling Stone is announcing it now.
It's still not Lucasville, but okay. We don't have time. So many rumors. So much craziness. So many rumors. What can we do? What can we do? Oh, my goodness. So much confusion.
We can only survive.
I know. I'm desperate.
We better
pulling up this next article,
that's
the latest rumor.
Do.
This is what we'll be doing most every week until Star Wars Episode 7 comes out in 2015. We'll catch you guys next time on the Star Wars Report. To everyone who joined us live, thank you so much. And stay with us on Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff. We'll be back. And remember,
Mini Bothenstein,
to bring you this podcast.
Oh, you did do the open song. Open the phone.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.